The conversation that all parents dread has begun at my home. You tell yourself as a parent that you're going to be open with your children, you're going to talk to them, you're going to answer any question they have. You want to make sure that you're open and honest with them, open dialogue so they can grow and expand their curiosity. But there's that one question that you just pray never comes. And it came. The other week, Alan looked at me and he said, "Daddy, can I have a pet?" I'm not a pet person. All right, I don't want any critters in my house. Let's be honest, I have enough fun taking care of the two kids I have with my wife. It's a handful between the two of us and the two of them. I don't want something else to take care of. But negotiations are underway for a pet to enter the scene. And so over the last several weeks, many options have been discussed. Cats, dogs, fish. I personally am voting for the pet rock. But through these conversations, through these dialogues and negotiations about pets, I have learned some interesting facts. First, I have learned that Allison is adamantly opposed to ever owning a hamster, which is interesting to me. Bernese Mountain Dog, small bear, yes, she's all for that. Tiny rodent, no. Apparently, growing up, her brother had a hamster, and she said all the hamster ever did was escape. She said in the middle of the night, they would come in and wake her up because she would have to help search for the hamster. So she says, "We're never getting a hamster, they just escape." And she said her brother's hamster, of course, was not sitting in the middle of the floor. He was hiding under the bed, behind the shelves, in the closet. So as it turns out, apparently hamsters are actually quite good escape artists. I've heard from several people that hamsters are just great at escaping. They don't like to stay in their safe, cozy cages that we make for them. And I find myself asking, why not? I mean, put yourself in the put yourself as a hamster. Someone creates this amazingly comfortable box for you to live in. There's an unlimited supply of water. The food bowl is always full. There's a comfy bed. There's a little wheel you can run on when you want to exercise. Like, everything you could want as a hamster is in this box. Why would you ever want to leave the box? That's really the question that we began to look at last week. Why should we leave our boxes? We started last week to say, look, when we walk through life, we tend to create safeguards. We tend to put up kind of barriers in our own lives to keep us safe and help us feel comfortable. We develop rhythms and routines. We fall into these kind of orders of our lives. We know what's coming next. We know what to expect. But sometimes our boxes, our barriers, begin to cage us in. Sometimes the thing we put into our lives to help us feel comfortable and safe and find rhythm and routine, these things begin to prevent us from fulfilling our calling. Fear is one of those cages. Last week, we looked at fear. We said we tend to avoid the things that we are afraid of. And as we talked about fear last week, we said maybe it's time we need to break down some of those barriers. Because what makes us feel safe oftentimes prevents us from fulfilling our calling to go out and tell people about the love of Jesus. Jesus calls us to go out into the world and to tell other people about him, to share what we know about his grace and his love. And we said we can't do that if we're afraid of talking to people, if we're afraid of what they might think of us or if they might reject the message we come to share. We can't fulfill our calling if we love ourselves more than we love other people and more than we love Jesus. And so last week we talked about the barriers of fear we tend to put up in our lives. Today, I want to look at our hamster cages. I want to look at the safe spaces we create to live in. Now, we need to be clear, there's nothing wrong with having routines and rhythms and trying to have comfort in our lives. But when these things start to prevent us from fulfilling our calling, when our comfort prevents us from sharing with others, we begin to find ourselves stuck behind these self-made barriers. And maybe we need to take a lesson from the hamster and break out of our comfortable boxes. I'm going to show you kind of this idea in Scripture. And so I would encourage you this morning to grab your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 8. We're going to be in Acts chapter 8 and 9, looking at a few stories that help us maybe to see this happening in the early church. The book of Acts as a whole is the story of, is the history of the early church. What happens after Easter? What happens after Jesus raises from the dead? What happens after Jesus spends 40 days with the disciples as the risen Lord and Savior? What happens after Jesus returns to heaven? The book of Acts is that story for us. And we learn, first of all, the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus says, I have to go away. I'm going to go back to heaven so that the Holy Spirit will come and be with you. And so we see that in the early parts of Acts, Acts, the beginning of chapter 2. And then the disciples, now called apostles, start what we now know as the church. They go out and they tell other people about the love of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus, the grace of God expressed through Jesus. We see this a bit in Acts chapter 2. I know you're in Acts chapter 8. I'll put 2 on the screen so you can read along. Acts chapter 2, 46 and 47 kind of summarizes this. It says, every day they, the disciples, the early church, continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The early church, the young church, they began to meet daily. They started growing. They saw church growth. Every day it says God is bringing new believers into the church family. The apostles are going out sharing their faith. And people are hearing them. People are believing the message about God. Every day they're coming together to meet together, to share life together, to praise God together. This is good. Dare I say this was great. And God is blessing it. They found their rhythm. They found their routine. This is what they did every day. And they began to build a box. They began to set up their structures. This is what we do. And for a season, it continued to be good. They were living in a city in Jerusalem full of people who needed to hear about Jesus. Everybody in Jerusalem heard about what happened on Good Friday, heard about what happened on Easter. They wanted to know, what does this mean? They're living in this city full of people who need to hear this message. But Jesus' calling, his commission to them, was not to stay there. Jesus said, go. Go out and make disciples in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in all of the world. And the problem we begin to see here is that going out is hard when staying in feels better. The early church is thriving in Jerusalem. People are coming to faith every day. Life is good. And Jesus says, don't forget you're supposed to go out. Going out is hard when staying in feels better. And what we begin to see in the book of Acts is that great stuff is happening, but they're building a box. They're finding rhythms. They're finding comfort. And their calling was not being fulfilled because they weren't going out. And there was nothing inherently wrong with what they were doing. They were telling people about God. They saw people coming to faith. They're worshiping God together every day. They're living out their faith. They're doing church. They're praising God. And for a season, this is exactly what they were supposed to do. But only for a season. They needed to get outside of their comfort box. They needed to go beyond. We also build our comfort boxes, our comfort zones, our rhythms, our routines, and there's nothing wrong with them. They get us through day by day. But they're only meant to last us for a season. Another pet that we are in negotiations about is a hermit crab. Unlike hamsters, I'm given to understand they stay in their cages. They don't escape. An interesting thing about hermit crabs is they are a unique type of crab. They don't have a shell that grows with them. See, if I go to eat those lovely crabs in Maryland, those crabs have shells that grow with them. They stay in that same crab their entire lives. But hermit crabs have to go find shells. And the crab continues to grow, the shell does not. And eventually they say, this shell is too small for me, I need to go find a bigger shell. And I believe that's what God wants for us. God wants to grow us in each season of our lives so that we're ready to step out and find a new box to live in, to find something larger, bigger for us to do. Yes, comfort is okay for a season, but at some point we need to step out and do something different. Acts chapter 8, hopefully you're all there by now. Verses 1 and then verse 4, I want to look at these quickly. Verse 1 says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. The young church began to face severe persecution. Things got really bad for them. They could not stay in their comfort box. But they weren't bad for them because they had a desire to leave. They weren't going, gee, we can't stay. We need to get out and go. No, they were being pushed out. Because if they could have, they would have probably stayed in their box. They would have stayed together in Jerusalem. Nothing would have changed. They would have kept doing the same thing. But God knew it was time for them to go. God knew it was the new season for them to go and fulfill their calling. And so the church started to face hardships in Jerusalem. The church began to leave their box, their rhythms. And things kind of got better in a way because the church continued to grow even more. If they had stayed in Jerusalem, if they had stayed in their box, in their comfort zone, the church today would be in Jerusalem. But because God pushed them out, because they left their box, the church is a worldwide thing. Acts chapter 11, I'll put this up on the screen. We see this again. This is later in the story. It says, now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. They get out of their box. They leave Jerusalem, and the church is growing. Another option of pets being negotiated is a bird, which never is going to happen at my house. I do not need something tweeting at me all hours of the night. But there are some interesting things about birds and how they raise their young. See, they keep them in their cozy, comfortable, secure nest. They build a box, if you will. They build this nest to keep their young bird safe. But eventually, mom and dad bird know that baby bird is ready to leave the nest. The baby birds don't jump out of the nest. The parents kick them out and make them fall. But the parents know they're ready to fly. It's how they teach their young birds to fly. If they don't get kicked out, they will stay forever. But the parents know when they're ready. And God does the same thing with the young church. God pushes them out of their comfort zone. He says, it's time to leave Jerusalem. It's time to go out into the world. And what happens? They begin to soar. They go all over the known world. They go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. They're going out and people are coming to faith. Not just the Jews, but now the Greeks as well. But what we see is that getting out of our boxes, flying, if you will, does not come without discomfort. It's not easy to step out of our boxes. The whole book of Acts is filled with story after story of the young church getting outside their comfort zone. And each time they do this, it can get a little uncomfortable, which should be expected. If we're saying, this is my comfort zone, I like it here, and you're telling me to step out of the comfortable box, logically, it's going to get uncomfortable. It might be a little odd at times, but it's what's best for us. So we're in Acts chapter 8. I want to drop down to verse 26 as an example of this. Verse 26, we're going to meet a guy named Philip. Philip was one of the leaders in Jerusalem who got scattered. He was forced out of his box of comfort, and he ended up moving to Samaria. And when he gets there, it's uncomfortable, but amazing things begin to happen. He goes into this new box, this new shell, if you will, this bigger ministry area. He goes to Samaria, a place that the Jews are hated, and yet he, as a Jew, begins to tell them about Jesus, who was a Jew, and they all believe him. They all fall in love with Jesus. An amazing ministry is happening. But already, when we get to verse 26, Philip has created a new box. He's in Samaria, things are comfortable, he's preaching, people are believing, and already that box is too small, and God says, you need to get out of the box. It's time to move on. Acts 8:26 says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' And so Philip started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.'" Just as Philip is getting comfortable, just as Philip is getting accustomed to his new role in Samaria, he is told to leave. Get out of your comfort zone. And oh, by the way, go hang out in the desert. Go down to the desert road in the middle of nowhere. First of all, that just doesn't sound fun. It's the desert, but it's kind of confusing. Just to be clear, God, I'm here with people. You told me to go tell people about you, and now you want me to go out to the desert road where there are no people. Logically, this move makes no sense. God says, I want you to leave the people and go out to the desert where there are no people. And when he gets there, because he listens to God, the Holy Spirit says, okay, go stand near that chariot. Now, there are two things we need to pause and recognize here. One, we've all heard and taught our children the idea of stranger danger. When there's a person you see that you don't know and they're coming towards you and they look like they want to interact with you, red flags begin to go up and you say, okay, this is maybe not a good situation. Philip is the stranger. God is telling him, go be the weird guy coming out of the desert. Nobody knows who you are and why you're there. And they're going to get a little concerned about why you're there and why you're following them. God is telling Philip, go be the weird desert guy. And then he says, go stand near the chariot. Can you really stand near a moving chariot? No. So now Philip's not just the weird desert guy who's kind of standing in the middle of nowhere. He's also the guy who's chasing the bus. You know, the guy who misses the bus stop and he's running down the street after the, wait, come back. He's now trying to run after this chariot, being the weird guy coming. What part of this goes, wow, I think I would enjoy that? Nothing about the scene is natural. Nothing about the scene is comfortable to our human nature. But Philip is faithful. He does what God tells him to do. And we begin to remember and remind ourselves it's not about our comfort. It's about our calling. God says, you're going to get a little uncomfortable here, but this is what you're supposed to do. Now, if you know the story, and I think many of us do, Philip here breaks out of his comfort zone. He gets out of his box. He breaks past the barrier of fear. There has to be fear here, in my opinion. And he starts talking to the guy in the chariot as he's running. And the guy invites him in. They have a great conversation about the book of Isaiah, what the guy is reading. And Philip leads him to Christ. He becomes a Christian. But it didn't come without a little, I think, a lot of discomfort. But Philip wasn't the only one. Faith always seems to lead us into a little bit of discomfort. Turn the page to chapter 9. We meet another individual with another uncomfortable story. Acts chapter 9, we'll start at verse 10. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord said to him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarshish named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." So we get to Acts chapter 9. We meet a brand new guy named Ananias. Ananias lives in the city of Damascus. All right? And he gets one of the coolest visions from God. First of all, God is speaking directly to him. That alone is a great day. Like when God actually voices, you hear his voice going, "Hey, Jan, hey, Steve, hey, Seth," he's talking to me. Like, this is great. Ananias is thrilled at this point. But then, on top of that, God gives him a very specific job. He says, Ananias, I need you to go to Straight Street to Judas's house. Like, it's not a generic message. It's not a, hey, go out and talk to everybody. It's go to this specific place and ask for the specific person. There's a guy at Judas's house. His name is Saul. And oh, by the way, he's not just there. He is praying. Saul is praying. Saul is seeking me. You have an extremely easy job. Go to this specific place. There's someone who's praying, who's asking to know more about me, and you get to tell them. Well, this is an easy job. And oh, by the way, this Saul who's praying and wants to hear more about me, he has had his own vision. And he has seen you, Ananias, come to him and heal him. AKA, Ananias, you get to go heal this guy. He's already seen it in a vision. What more could you ask for? I mean, this is an amazing vision from God. It sounds great. But Ananias replies, verse 13, Lord, he answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. Ananias gets one of the best visions from God, and his response is, that sounds great, God, but do you actually know who he is? Like, I just want to make sure, God, that you know who this guy is. Because at this point in the story, like, we know who he is. We know it's Saul. He's going to become Paul. He's going to be this great evangelist. We know that. But Ananias doesn't know that. Ananias is going, God, do you actually know who he is? Do you know the persecution that's making us all leave Jerusalem? Yeah, he's kind of the ringleader. He's causing the persecution. He's arresting Christians. He's killing Christians. He's overseeing the mobs who are going after the Christians. Wouldn't it be better, God, if we just kind of left him be? Just let him sit there. Another pet that's being considered right now is a cat, which we won't get because Allison and I are both allergic. Otherwise, though, it would be at the top of my list because cats are easy. They leave you alone. You leave them alone. You kind of wave at each other as you put food in the bowl, but otherwise, they don't want to talk to you. That's my kind of pet. I don't want to have to interact with it. Cats are happy just to wave at you as you pass them by. But that's Ananias' mindset here, isn't it? What if we just ignored Saul? What if we just passed him by, waved at him, he couldn't see you, he's blind, and we just leave him be? Leave him alone in his blindness to wonder, to regret what he's done. Just let him be, God. But God isn't in the business of leaving people alone. As we've been learning over the last several weeks in our series on grace, God extends his grace to everyone. He says, no, I'm not leaving Saul alone. Chapter 9, verse 15, the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and he entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. God does not debate the question with Ananias. He doesn't go, ooh, you're right. I didn't actually know who he was. God just says, go. He belongs to me. He is mine. And Ananias gets uncomfortable. He steps out of his comfort zone. He goes and he meets Saul, and big things happen. Really, the rest of the book of Acts is almost entirely about Saul, Paul, and what he does for God. Very rarely in Scripture do we hear people talk about their discomfort. Most stories in Scripture, God says, this is what I want you to do, and the people go, okay, I'll go do it, and they do it. Philip, for example, He doesn't say anything to God about going out in the middle of nowhere and being the weird desert guy chasing the chariot. He just doesn't. Now, Moses, if you remember Moses' story at the burning bush, God says, go talk to Pharaoh, and Moses is full of excuses. I think Moses is full of uncomfort, discomfort. He says, but God, I don't speak so well. They're not going to listen to me. They're not going to like, he has that dialogue with God. Ananias maybe has it in a small way. He at least voices his opinion to God. Do you know who he is? He doesn't come out and say, I'm uncomfortable with this. But I think if we read between the lines, if we remember as we read scripture that these are people, just like you and I are people, we're going to realize how uncomfortable they must have been. That every time God calls them to do something, they, like us, probably find themselves going, I'm not so sure I want to do that. I mean, how many times in scripture can you put yourself in someone's shoes and go, I would totally do that? More often than not, I think most of us would go, I can't imagine doing that. I would love to say that I could. I'd love to say that I'm a Philip who's going to go out in the middle of nowhere and chase a chariot. But let's be honest, I probably wouldn't do that. That would be uncomfortable. We're really good at staying inside our comfort zones. But what happens then? What happens when we stay in our boxes? Well, it's a lot like my top choice for a pet. It's a pet rock, right? Pet rocks are comfortable. They don't have any needs. They sit there and they're happy. You talk to them, you pet them, that's it. They have no desire to change. They don't need fed, they don't grow, they just exist. What is exciting about having a pet rock? Absolutely nothing, which is exactly why Alan has vetoed my idea. But the same is true of us. If we just stay sitting in our comfort zone, nothing will happen. If we just say, I'm going to sit here and be content with my life, nothing will happen. But if we recognize our calling, and we recognize that it cannot be fulfilled sitting in our comfort zone, staying in our box, if we choose to break out of our comfortable cages, then things begin to happen. And yes, it will be uncomfortable at times. We might even feel like the weird guy in the desert. But it will be weird and wonderful. Because when we step out of our comfort boxes, God moves in us. And God moves through us. But we have to be willing to take that step. We have to be willing to say, it's not about my comfort. It's about my calling. So then the question I hope we're all asking is, okay, well, how do I get out of my box? Like, I have built my rhythms. I've built my routines. These are the things that help me get through day by day. What do you mean, get out of my box? How do I get out of my box? It's actually really easy. All you really need to do is do something different. You don't have to move to a new city. That's what we see in the book of Acts. They're all moving out of Jerusalem. Yes, that worked. That's what God needed them to do. But we don't have to move to a new city. Ananias simply had to go on a walk to a different street. He didn't have to move anywhere. He just had to go somewhere different that day. Talk to someone new. And I know we're all busy. It is hard for us to break out of our routines because we're so busy. If we don't have our routine, nothing gets done. There's just not time, we say. But if you put in just a little effort, it may not be as hard as you think. And let's also be clear and remember, if we don't get out of our comfort zones, and God wants us to. Remember what happened to the church in Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 8? God kicked him out. He was the mommy bird who just pushed him out of the nest. So if God wants us to go, he's going to push us out. So we probably should put the effort in ourselves so that God doesn't kick us out of the nest. And it really could be something so simple. It could start with something so small and so simple. A few examples. Do you go to a coffee shop every day? Do you go to the same coffee shop every day? What if you said, hey, this week, I'm going to go get my coffee over there Because now I have to talk to a different barista. I have to talk to a different coffee person. I'm going to see different people standing in line. And maybe because I'm seeing different people, God will lead me to talk to those people. Just a slight change. You're still getting coffee. You're just going somewhere else. Or maybe you're a jogger or a biker. You have your path that you always run. What if you said, I'm going to run, I'm going to bike, I'm going to walk somewhere different this week. Instead of going left, I'm going to go right. Just because I might see someone new. Just make a slight change in your routine and see what happens. Not because I'm telling you to. Oh, Pastor Jan said to go to left this week instead of right, so here I go. No, if you just come to God and you prayerfully ask him, hey, God, I want you to create opportunities in my life. I want to be open to these opportunities to meet people, to interact with people. In fact, that prayer alone may be enough. To go through your exact same rhythm, your exact same routine, but praying differently. God, open my eyes to see the people who are already there. Because let's be honest, part of our comfort is blinders. I go into the coffee shop, I want my coffee, I go home. I'm not looking around me. I don't have time for that. I'm busy. But what if we simply changed our rhythms to say, God, help me to see the people who are already there. And help me just to say hello. Help me to enter whatever you want me to do, God. Maybe it's bigger than that. Maybe for some of us, it's going to start small. But maybe it's bigger. Maybe it's more than a subtle change. Maybe we need to start doing something new altogether. Maybe it's joining a club, meeting with people monthly who like to do the same things we do. I don't even know. Like, I like to fly kites. I'm going to go fly kites with people. Guess what's going to happen? While I'm flying kites and you're flying kites, we're going to start talking to each other. We both like kites. Let me tell you about God. Let me tell you that God loves you. Maybe there's something you like to do, and you're going, what if I went out and joined a club to be with people who like doing that? People who don't go to my church, who don't live on my street. New people for me to talk to. I'm going to get outside of my comfort zone and go fly a kite with them, or whatever it is you like to do. Here's a crazy idea I had this week, because for a few of you, I know you actually have lots of time. You have this gift of something called retirement, where you don't have a 9-to-5. I know some of you who are retired who are crazier or busier than I am. But I have this thought, what if you go, gee, I really do want to meet new people. And I really want to talk to them. I want God to create opportunities. What if, because everywhere I go right now, there's help wanted signs because the economy is great and there's not enough people to work there. What if you went and got a part-time job? Not because you need the paycheck. In fact, if you want to put the paycheck in the offering and give it to us, that'd be great. But what if you said, I want to meet people, and I'm going to go get a part-time job, 5 hours a week, 10 hours a week, whatever. Because here's an interesting thing about working. Your coworkers have to be there too. They can't run away from you. So now there's a forced opportunity to talk to people. They can't go. The customers, they want to order coffee from you, whatever you're doing. You get to talk with them. I'm not saying you'll have to get a part-time job this week, but what if we took seriously this idea of I'm going to do something different so that I can interact with people, that I don't know? Because more often than not, what I hear is, well, I'd like to tell people about God, but I'm with the same people every week. People who go to church with me, people who live next door, who go to that church down the street, people who know God. I want to tell people about God, but I don't know any people who don't know God. Maybe it's time to get outside of your box. The bottom line here is that whatever or however you break your box, put yourself in a place where you can meet people, where you can talk to people. It will probably be uncomfortable. But let's be honest here. How many relationships do you have now that are perfectly comfortable? Like, because you and your spouse never fight. You and your kids always get along. It's always comfortable, right? Relationships in general are uncomfortable. So let's just admit up front that by interacting with new people, it will also be uncomfortable. But it's not about our comfort. It's about our calling. It is about loving other people. God calls us to go and tell people what we know to be true. Not to be the weird guy just constantly spouting Jesus, but to build relationships. Say, hey, how's your week? Oh, you're having a rough day. Hey, can I pray for you? I believe that God loves you and cares about you, and we can go to him in prayer. It's interesting because people who don't believe in God are almost always open to you praying for them. You know, one of the prayer requests in the bulletin right now is for my neighbor. He's going through cancer. He and his wife are not Christians. They grew up in the church, but they don't believe any of it. They don't go to church anymore. And yet it's amazing to me that when he's getting ready for his next round of treatment, they're texting me. Can your church pray for us? Well, of course we can. Because people are open to God in their time of need. So put yourself in position to talk to them. It's about loving people. Which is why, as much as I really don't want a pet, we will probably eventually have one in our house. Because I love my son. And out of that love, I will surrender my comfort and I will deal with some kind of critter living in my house. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but I love him. And because I love him, I will surrender my comfort. What will you do out of love? What will you do because you love God and you love the people he loves? Will you surrender a little of your comfort and look for potentially weird but wonderful opportunities to engage with the people that God loves, for the people that God plants in your path? Our prayer this week needs to be, God, give us the opportunities to break out, to step outside our comfort, and help us to meet people that you love. Help us to meet people who need to hear what we know to be true. Let's pray. God, it's amazing to me, even in Acts chapter 2, as you are moving, this Holy Spirit is empowering, and amazing things are happening, how natural it is for us to build our nest, to build our comfort zones, our cages, whatever we want to call them, and to settle in and say, this is my space. This is my rhythm. This is my routine. And yet time after time after time, you are a God who pushes us out of the nest, who encourages us to escape the cage, to go out into the world. God, our prayer this week is that you would open our eyes to see the people you've already placed in our lives, to see the opportunities to make a slight adjustment to our schedule, to put us in a new place at a new time, to see the people who need to know you. God, we confess that we are so good at creating comfort at the detriment of our calling. God, help us surrender our comfort to be the people you call us to be, to go and interact with people who need to know you, whether at a new coffee shop, whether flying a kite, whether at a new job, or whether walking a different direction down the street and talking to a new neighbor. God, put people in our paths and help us to step into those opportunities to tell people how much you love them. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.